This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
Hello and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we have an episode for you about Melinda Russell.
Yes. Was there any reason this person was on your mind, Lauren?
It is Black History Month here in the United States, and I was looking for a relevant topic to that and kind of going through some of these, you know, like roundups of biographies of cool humans of the past, and I had never heard of Ms. Melinda Russell, and her story really caught me, and so I wanted to talk about it.
I hadn't heard of her either, and it is a really amazing, fascinating story.
And also
you can find a lot of the stuff we're talking about. Unfortunately, a lot of things about her life have been lost, which we'll discuss, but you can find the cookbook online for free that we're going to discuss. So there's stuff out there.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You can see our past biography episodes for more.
Maybe our past cookbook episodes and also episodes concerning ingredients and techniques from the American South, which in which themes that we're going to talk about have come up often.
Yes, yes. All right, so I guess that brings us to our question.
I guess it does.
Melinda Russell. Who was she?
Well, Melinda Russell was a Black American who lived during the 1800s, was an accomplished cook and pastry chef, and wrote a cookbook, which, as far as we know, is the first one published by a Black woman in the United States ever. Her story was almost lost, and it's extraordinary because she was this relatively average person during her lifetime. You know, she never knew fame. She had all kinds of odds stacked against her as a free Black woman in that time and place. But her very existence and the book that she wrote are now helping us change what we thought we knew or perhaps had assumed about cooking and cuisine by Black people in particular, around the American South in general, pre-emancipation and during the era of the Civil War. It was not just poverty cooking. People have been saying this forever, but this is definitive evidence. The culture was far more nuanced and complicated than that. It's like the finding of this book was like finding a new fossil that gives you hard evidence about earlier life that was previously poorly understood and kind of left to conjecture. Her life and her work are just an absolute gift.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. More about Russell herself in the history section, but a bit about her book here. So, okay, she self-published a domestic cookbook containing a careful selection of useful receipts for the kitchen in 1866. It is a 39-page pamphlet, really, that assumes the reader has a good handle on basic cookery and equipment of the time. Like, some of the recipes do include instructions, but many are more of like a list of amounts of ingredients. It includes about 265 recipes. She ran a pastry shop at one point, and indeed a lot of her recipes are for these fancy, like Euro-American desserts. Lemon meringue pie, cream puffs, trifles, Charlotte Russe, wine gelatin, and all kinds of cookies, cakes, icings, custards, puddings, and pies. There are also lots of fancy preserves, like brandied peaches and whole candied oranges in syrup. Other recipes feature local produce like gooseberries, tomatoes, mulberries, okra, and quince. Yes, there is a recipe for tomato ketchup, just in case you were wondering. The few savory dishes are things that you would have for like a nice dinner or tea at the time. Calf's head soup, fricasseed catfish, rare cooked spiced beef to be sliced thin and served cold, a spiced onion custard, nice and creamy, yeah, white meat chicken salad with celery and mustard. There is also a section in the back with basic recipes for things like ice cream or ginger beer, plus non-edibles like cologne, and some like home and or folk remedies for various ailments like burns and toothaches. The cologne, by the way, and I can't remember if I've mentioned this on the show before, but I am a perfume nerd. I got really into Black Phoenix Alchemy Lab a number of years ago, and yes, I have too many perfumes. But okay, so the cologne sounds really nice. It has rosemary, lemon, bergamot, lavender, cinnamon, clove, and rose.
Oh, that does sound lovely.
Right? Anyway, we are ostensibly a food show.
Ostensibly. Well, what about the nutrition?
Don't eat history.
Consume it for your brain.
There you go.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We have one solitary number for you.
Oh, we do. As far as we know, there is a single copy of this cookbook remaining on this, our planet Earth.
Which is wild. That is... Whew.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's quite the story how it was recovered, how this history was rediscovered. I was not expecting it when I was doing this research.
Yeah, I really fell in love with it. So we are going to get into that history and a little bit about Melinda Russell's life. But first, we are going to get into a quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressing, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursion?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
So as I mentioned, unfortunately, a lot of Melinda Russell's story has been lost due to a number of factors. And a lot of what we do know is based on the very short bio at the front of her cookbook that historians have pieced together and or speculated on to make an educated guess in some instances.
Mm-hmm.
There are people looking into this, and we will talk about that. But at the time of when this cookbook was published, when Melinda Russell was alive, a lot of record keeping, especially when it comes to Black people, was haphazard at best and just not done or erased at worst.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to move with what we have
Yep.
here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but in this foreword in the cookbook, Russell says that she was born and raised in eastern Tennessee. There's no date given, but it was probably around 1812. Her mother's name was Karen, who was born after Russell's grandmother had been freed from enslavement. Her mother died when Russell was quite young. In her late teens, Russell joined a group of folks intending to go to Liberia.
Yeah, Liberia at the time was an American colony of freed African-Americans and Afro-Caribbeans, hoping to find, like, more complete personal freedom and opportunity.
Right. But after one of the members of their party robbed Russell, she was forced to abandon that plan and instead became a ladies' companion and cook. I even read nurse somewhere in Lynchburg, Virginia. She went on to marry a man named Anderson Vaughn, and they had a son together. Only 4 years later, Vaughn died, leaving Russell to take care of their child while she was running a laundry at the time. And I wanted to read this because she has such a voice.
Yeah, yeah. She included this in that same foreword for this cookbook.
She did, she did. And it was what she said was an advertisement for her wash house. Quote, Melinda Vaughn, fashionable laundress, would respectfully inform the ladies and gentlemen of Aguington that she is prepared to wash and iron every description of clothing in the neatest and most satisfactory manner. Every article washed by her, she guarantees shall pass unscathed through the severest ordeal of inspection without the remotest danger of condemnation. That's beautiful. That's so good.
It is. Oh, gosh. A little bit later, she took back her maiden name and also worked as a cook for families around Tennessee, North Carolina, and Kentucky.
Right. And eventually she went on to run a boarding house and then later a pastry shop in Tennessee. And yeah, remember, this was a time when many Black people in the southern U.S. were enslaved and the civil rights of Black people were not recognized by law in the United States. And she was a single mother running a business and raising a child with a disability in this atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Over the course of 6 years, Russell managed to save up some money through her pastry shop and made enough to provide for her and her son. But in 1864, she was robbed and threatened with violence and death if she reported the robber. So she packed up her son and her life and moved to Paw Paw, Michigan, though she hoped to return to Tennessee one day when things were more peaceful in Tennessee. So this is kind of where a lot of things get a little blurry because we just have this thing that she wrote.
Mm-hmm.
But after enough time had passed, Russell wanted to return back to Tennessee, but by then was kind of, quote, getting on a bit in years. So she needed a different way to make money other than cooking, that kind of that physicality of cooking. So she thought of her years of experience in that world of cooking, though, and of how people enjoyed what she made and how they asked after her recipes, and she got this idea to put together a cookbook. So Russell self-published a domestic cookbook containing a careful selection of useful receipts for the kitchen in Paw Paw in 1866. And part of the reason she published it was, yes, this fundraising tool so that she could get enough money to go back to Tennessee. In the opening short history of the book, she gives, yeah, this, like, biography, but she also specifically points out sources she learned from, including Mary Randolph's cookbook, The Virginia Housewife, but also a Black cook named Fanny Stewart. And that was a role that was often forgotten, unappreciated, or erased.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she did something very unique there in making sure to call that out. She also establishes her expertise, writing that she had been in the business of cooking for over 20 years. And I loved that. She was like, trust me, people want mm-hmm. my recipes.
Uh-huh.
And here's a quote to underline that point from the opening. I know my receipts to be good, as they always have given satisfaction. I have been advised to have my receipts published, as they are valuable and every family has use for them. Being compelled to leave the South on account of my Union principles in the time of the rebellion, and having been robbed of all my hard-earned wages, which I had saved, and as I am now advanced in my years with no other means of support than my own labor, I have put out this book with the intention of benefiting the public as well as myself.
Hmm.
I love it. I love it. But yeah, I couldn't find much around what happened after she published the book. She does have another line that I really liked where she was like, I know everybody who knows me is going to want to buy it. who's tasted my food, basically, is going to want to buy it.
Yeah.
But I couldn't find much about what happened after. But as I said, others that are more experienced, and I think it's also important to call them out, the people who are doing the work of kind of uncovering these things.
Yeah, yeah.
Are digging into it.
Because it's not just you. It's that currently, as far as we could find out, the information does not exist. It has exactly. been lost. But people are working on it.
People are working on it. And in fact, this cookbook was almost lost to time as well. Soon after Russell left Pawpaw, the town burned in a fire, and it eliminated almost any scrap of history of her time there. And up until the early 2000s, the 1881 cookbook, What Mrs. Fisher Knows About Old Southern Cooking, was believed to be the first cookbook by an African-American woman. But in the early 2000s, an antique cookbook collector and then curator of American culinary history at the William L. Clements Library at the University of Michigan named Jan Ligoni got her hands on Russell's work. It was this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was found by a bookseller at the bottom of a box from the collection of one Ellen Evans Brown, who was the chef and cookbook writer who helped pioneer fresh California cuisine in the 1950s and collected a great number of culinary materials.
Yeah, and this discovery completely upended a lot of the mainstream thought around Black cuisine in the U.S. and Southern cuisine, sometimes called soul food in this context as well. It suggested that a more nuanced take on this history was missing and was needed.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a quote from journalist Toni Tipton Martin, who spent over a decade researching the history of African-American women cooks. Quote, "In isolation, Melinda's book might appear to be an aberration, but it dispels the notion of a universal African-American food experience, which is why the term soul food doesn't work for so many of us." And just a note, Toni Tipton Martin went on to write The Jemima Code, Two Centuries of African-American Cookbook. So she's done a lot of amazing work.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the story of Ligoni tracking down Russell is really fascinating. She and her husband, who was a chemistry professor, they had this whole Indiana Jones thing going on. Mm-hmm. That they were so determined to track down this story. They dug through newspapers, census reports, genealogies. They went to cemeteries and town halls all across the South, including on like a wedding anniversary. It was a big thing for them.
Yeah.
Ligoni published a facsimile of Russell's book in 2007.
Yes. And copies of both that and the original are online. But that original book now lives at Clements Library, specifically in the culinary archive named for Ligoni. It's thought to be right, the only existing copy. That culinary archive, by the way, is based on Ligoni's personal collection, which contained some 25,000 items at the time of her death in 2022. And it has some exhibits online, so go check out the Janice Bluestein Ligoni Culinary Archive. It's pretty rad.
Definitely, definitely. And this discovery really inspired a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
It was really important to a lot of people. In 2020, Shireen Sherard published a book of poetry around themes inspired by Russell's life and recipes called Grimoire. And then in 2021... a group of culinary historians came together to form the Melinda Russell Recipe Testing Project with the goal of testing the recipes and making them more accessible for our modern kitchens and understanding of recipes. Because as you said, Lauren, a lot of them kind of assume you know certain things.
Yeah, yeah. Or that you have access to certain equipment or that you understand what their weird measures are talking about.
One of my favorites was, I think one of them was like a one-sentence recipe.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. it was like, and it's been fun to read. I was just kind of perusing through kind of the blog post people were writing about recreating the recipes, and it was fun to see them be like, one sentence recipe, what is this? They figured it out, you know? I love
it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As we said, you can find this cookbook for free online. And there has been a lot written about it and a lot of really amazing conversations about it. So if you want to look any of that up, you can find it. It is available.
Yeah, absolutely. But that is kind of unfortunately all that we really have to say about Melinda Russell for now.
It is. However, we do have some listener mail for you all.
We do, and we are going to get into that as soon as we get back from one more quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit tomboyx.com.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with
listener mail.
It's like finding an amazing manuscript and you're like,
Yeah. I feel like it's also just a little bit Scooby-Doo, but yeah.
Well, Scooby-Doo also has discovered many amazing things.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah. So there's an intersection there to be had. Sheldon wrote, this memory is from back in the 60s when I was a teen. My grandmother, who was born in Ireland in the early 1890s, was living with us. She had gone shopping at some specialty shop one day and came back with a bottle of Lyle's Golden Syrup. She showed it to all of us and told us that she used to always get it back home, but had been unable to find it until that day. Since then, there was always a bottle of it in her house. You brought back memories of my long-gone grandmother. Thanks. In the picture below, you'll see that I have an old jar that I've been using to hold my cinnamon sugar mix for my cinnamon rolls. And while I'm talking to you, it looks like the St. Albert's Curd Festival has been moved from summer to winter, and you've missed this year's event. You should start planning for your road trip next year. I'm still planning on bringing you some Montreal bagels when you come up here. I mean, curds and bagels.
Fair enough. Yeah, that's our bad for not keeping better track of the curd festival.
What are we doing?
Yeah. No, not eating curds is the thing.
Yeah, that's our punishment.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, but how wonderful.
Yeah, I love that so much. And I do that too, where I'll keep containers and use them for other things.
Oh, yeah.
But then you get the memory of like where that was from, the container was from.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So I love that. And that container, as we talked about in that episode for Lyle's Golden Syrup, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And right. You know, and all of which makes me feel better about my wild habit of just saving containers that I possibly don't need to save. Which brings us to Christine, who wrote, I was so intrigued after listening to your recent episode on tepache. I had never heard of such a thing and simply had to try it. So I launched into my science experiment last Sunday. I read a few recipes and ended up using brown sugar. It turned out fine, but next time I'll take a trip to the Mexican grocery store for the real deal, peel and seal. After 4 days living in a pot on my counter, not to mention the interesting comments from my family about my witch's brew, I strained it and placed it into the fancy swing top bottles I saved from the French soda I bought at World Market. I just couldn't throw them away. I have a problem with saving jars and bottles, but that's another story. It was so good. I added tequila and lime, and it was like a fancy margarita with an extra pop of funky on the finish. Thank you for inspiring my fun activity and tasty new cocktail. I have to admit I heard Lauren's voice in my head saying bacteria poop throughout the process. Love the show and love the fun delivery on interesting topics from you both every week. Oh, and thank you most of all for giving me the justification for saving the bottles. I was able to deliver a satisfying, "See, I told you I would use them for something," to my husband.
You are quite welcome.
Anytime. But, From one person with a problem to you, I'm glad that we gave you a solution.
Oh, me too. And space is a premium in my place. And I'm just like, well, I can't get rid of any of these things, though. Yeah. I might need them for something.
Right? This could be useful.
Yes.
My county doesn't even do glass recycling.
Also true. Christine also sent pictures, and it looks delicious, your science experiment concoction cocktail. I'm determined to do it, and I think you've inspired me.
Fabulous.
It looked so good, and I'm so glad that it worked out, and that you got a nice "I told you so" moment out of it, and a bacteria poop moment out of it. That's great.
And that's a bingo right there, I think.
I'm pretty sure it is. Well, thank you so much to both of these listeners for writing in. If you would like to write to us, you can. Our email is hello@saverpod.com.
We're also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @SaverPod. And we do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Okay, give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.